that there are needs that need to be met, and he told me I'm going to meet them. If my people who are called by my name will seek my face, I will take care of those needs. How many believe it? And I want us to compare those needs with who God is. So I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 15, verse 18 and verse 25. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or measured heaven with a span, or calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Do you know anybody who can do that? Any of you ladies dust this week? I got a huge complaint. I'm laying in bed, basking in the presence of the Lord. Everything is wonderful. Man, I'm going to go to sleep. It's so good. And then I hear from the bathroom, I don't know about this. I clean this and come back and it's full of dust again. Well, God says, take all the dust on planet Earth. Did you read it? Take all the dust on planet Earth. You won't have any scripture up there. You can just hit that in the and just put it blank, because that's not going to be any good. He says he has measured, he has calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. He's calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. So when you get home, ladies, get a measuring cup out of the cupboard and say God can take all the dust on planet Earth and he can measure it with that measuring cup. Know anybody else who can? He weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed my soul and body? Have you seen the Cascades lately? Have you seen the Green Mountains and the White Mountains? And what are the Hildebergs? You went up to see the Hildebergs this week, you told me. Went up to Thatcher. Yeah, Thatcher Park. How much does that mountain weigh where Thatcher Park is? God says he can weigh it. God says he can weigh it, and he can tell you to the last ounce how much it weighs. Says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? I'm going to preach on this someday, because we got a lot of Christians wanting to tell God what to do. Hello? You may have tried that once or twice. Does it work? No. With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? Who taught him knowledge or showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, are counted as the small dust of the scales. He lifts up the isles with a very little thing. To whom then, here's the question, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Verse 25, chapter 40, says the Holy One. We exalt you, Father. We give you our mind right now. We rebuke every single distraction of the enemy, every plan he has to steal the seed. And we pray that you and your word will have free course in our mind and our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. May we not just hear, but may we leave this place ready to do in Jesus' name. If I compare two things, they've got to be somewhat alike. Right? I met a fella. He pulled into the place where I was parked and he got out of a Tesla. And I said, I'd like to race one of those, but nobody will race me. Oh, I will, he said. I'll race you. I said, you haven't heard the parameters. I said, I'll race you from here to Miami. Oh, no, 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 no. He turned around and walked away. I don't want anything of that. Because when you compare two things, they've got to be somewhat alike. I can't compare a banana with an apple. Well, you can, but you're not going to be very successful. Amen? So God has a problem in our text. How many know that God has problems? He's got one called William Peer. And he deals with it, but let me take this and put this over here to see if it will work better. I tried to set it upright. Whoa, I'm sorry. I am very sorry. Do it again. There, let's try that. He says, I got a problem. It's Bill Peer. And Bill Peer needs to understand, and God's people at New Life need to understand who I am. How in the world can I trust God if I don't know who He is? Paul said in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In difficult times when the unimaginable is happening, God's Word must be heard in my heart before I can have enough faith to face the situation. And there's some people here this morning, the Lord has made it very clear to me that the situation is tough. But God's going to shed His Word in your heart this morning. Glory be to God. And you'll walk out of here saying, I know I got a big God. You see, God is bigger than anything I can ever face. He's bigger than anyone I can ever face. And glory to God, He always will be. He's not about to get down off the throne and take a lesser position because He says, I am it this morning. I am it. We're often terrorized by our problems. How many know what I'm talking about? We're terrorized by our difficulties. Our fears back us into a corner. And when that happens, sometimes we'll allow ourselves to be so afraid that we cannot even pull our head up. We can't even pull our energies up. Our emotions are in the tank. But this morning, God is a big God. And when you understand that, when the light of the Word of God is birthed and comes on in your heart, you're going to be able to face, and you'll be able to leave this sanctuary with a new thrill in your soul, knowing that there's nothing the devil can throw at you out there this week that you're not more than enough for because of the power of God that's in you. Glory be to God. You see, He's looking after my present, and He's looking after my future. Glory be to God. I can go anywhere He calls. I can do anything He asks. God has shown me how big He is. So it doesn't matter. I can do it in the name of Jesus. Well, He says there's four things I can do. And I'm only going to deal with two of them. I've already talked about the dust. I've already talked about the mountains. But He says He can measure all the water on planet Earth in the hollow of His hand. Go ahead. Cup your hand there. Now, some of you have bigger hands than mine. James' hands are bigger than mine. Stephen's hands are a lot bigger than mine. How much water can you hold there, Stephen? If that's all the water you had to drink the rest of the week, would you be thirsty when you came to church Sunday? Yeah. What can you hold there? Probably what? 10 ounces? Maybe 20? Not very much, right? God says to His people this morning, I can hold all the water on planet Earth in the hollow of one hand. I don't even have to do this. I just have to do this. That's all. Now the Earth is 25,000 miles in circumference. That's how many miles it is around at the equator. And 75% of the Earth's surface is covered by water. These are facts right out of science. And science tells us that if this is the case, the 75% of the water should overflow the 25% of the land, but it doesn't. And people are so sure it's not going to that they'll build multi-million dollar homes on the beach. And then when God steps back and allows the water to penetrate the land, it becomes news on a first plane. And they get all upset. My house is gone because the ocean has washed it away. Have you ever played with the waves? Have you ever played with the waves? We used to love to play with the waves. There they are. Oh, it didn't get me. Oh, it didn't get me. And then you make a mistake and it does. All the water, all the water in all the Atlantic Ocean. How many have seen the Atlantic Ocean? Raise your hand. Okay, how many have seen the Pacific Ocean? Raise your hand. That's pretty big, isn't it? Go to the edge of the Pacific Ocean and look across and see if you can see Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca. How much water is there in the Pacific Ocean? Anybody know? In fact, the islands are mountains in the Pacific Ocean, right? And they're higher than Mount Everest. The deepest trench is in the Pacific Ocean. And it's miles deep. And all that water, but hold on. Add to it the water in the Atlantic Ocean. Add to it the water in the Mediterranean Sea. Add to it the water in the Black Sea. Add to it the water in the Indian Ocean. Add to it the water in the Caribbean Sea. Add to it the river Hudson. Add to it the Amazon and the Nile. Add to it every single spring, every single lake, every single pond on planet Earth. And God says, my one hand is big enough. I can hold all of it right here in the palm and the hollow of my hand. Do you know anybody else who can? You see, that's why I obey him. Get slapped by that hand, you'll know you've been slapped.
Oh yeah.
Hello? He says, I can do all that, glory be to God. And then he says, if you don't think that is enough, if you don't think that is enough, I can measure the heavens with a span. Go ahead, make a span. I should have brought a tape measure with me. I got one in the office. And tell me how many inches. My span is 8.5 inches. So I can tell you how far it is across this pulpit, right? Because I can measure it. Four fingers. We used to measure things that way. Did you ever do that? Possible? That's how we used to measure things. So I can tell you how far it is across this pulpit, but if you ask me to measure from here to... Oh, I forgot. I am so sorry. And I tell people not to do that, and then I do it. I rebuke you. That's terrible. I am so sorry. That's the first time it's ever happened during a service. Amen. He says, if you ask me to measure from here to New York City, I'm not going to get down on my hands and knees and measure it. I could, but I'm not going to. And he says, the heavens I can measure with one span. Now, I want you to get a load of this. God said, when I stood on nothing, because there was nothing to stand on, and I looked out into the nothingness that surrounded me and decided I would put the universe. I didn't have to go down to Home Depot and get myself a measuring stick. I just stretched a hand out there and decided in what part of nothingness I would put everything I was going to do. And then I said, let there be light. And it happened just like that. Amen. I measured it all with the palm of one hand. Now, how big is the heavens? Nobody knows. Have you noticed the news? Every now and again they'll tell you that they've discovered a new star somewhere. Right? And we don't really know. We know east is east. Let's see, this church. West is west. East is east. South is south. North is north. And they never intersect. Right? They never intersect. We do know also, number two, that there's billions upon billions of galaxies just like our galaxy. Number three, we know that our galaxy is called the Milky Way, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. And in our Milky Way, there are 100 million other planets just like ours, and most of them bigger than ours. And we know that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Wouldn't I like a car that would go that fast? Oh, glory to God. I could get excited. 186,000 miles per second, and light traveling at 186,000 miles per second would take 100,000 years to cross our galaxy. And our galaxy is simply a small part of what God has done, 1/1,000,000th of part of what He's created and what He calls the heavens. And He says, I can tell you this morning in East Greenbush, New York, that I can measure it all with one span of one hand. Glory to God. Do you know anybody else who can? Anybody know anybody who can? Let me tell you this morning, our God is a big God. He's bigger than any circumstance you'll ever face. He's bigger than all your fears and difficulties. He's bigger than all your problems and anything you might face. He can deliver. He can keep. He can save. He can baptize. He can fill with the Holy Ghost. He can heal. He can perform miracles. He is a big God. Bigger than all my questions. He's bigger than all my fear. God is bigger than any mountain I cannot face. He's bigger than all my... What's the next part? I don't remember. But that's a chorus we used to sing. I wanted to sing it this morning, but I was afraid I would never get there. I can't remember it all. See? Is there any question? Is there anything too hard for God? Anybody know anything too hard for God? Just go ahead and tell me. I'll learn. Right? He's a mighty big God. The God who rolled back the waters of the Red Sea is still alive today. I love to tell the story. I'm going to tell it to the day I die. A woke professor in one of our universities was teaching about the Israel going through the Red Sea, and he said that wasn't a miracle, because what would happen is a dry wind off the Arabian Peninsula would blow through that area of Egypt and it would dry up that part of that Red Sea because it was very, very shallow. And so that wasn't a miracle, that was just a natural phenomenon. And a little old Christian raised his hand and said, Professor, can I say something? The miracle was even bigger, because God drowned the entire army of Egypt with their horses and chariots in 10 inches of dust. Blessed be His holy name. Amen. So it doesn't matter how you call it. It was a miracle. He's still alive today. The God who brought the walls of Jericho down is still in business. He has stopped the mouths of lions. He's still in business. He took the burn out of the furnace. Glory be to God. He caused the widow's flour to never exhaust. He caused the oil to never dry up. He is the God that called Lazarus out of the grave when he was dead. He died on the cross. He descended into hell. He led captivity captive. Glory be to God. He ascended to the Father and He sent me the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And He's still alive today. Blessed be His holy name. Glory be to God. But what does all that mean for me today? So what? That's all history. What is that? Well, can I call Moses to testify? Hey, Moses, will you come testify? Yes, Pastor, I'll testify. My name's Moses. I grew up in Egypt. I started my life in a boat, and a princess rescued me, and I grew up and went to the University of Cairo. Oh yeah, I was educated with the best. I grew up in the palace of the king, but I decided to take the deliverance of Israel into my own hands. Have you ever tried to do what you knew had to be done in your own strength, and you messed it all up? That's what I did. And I was taken to the backside of the desert and became the employee of my father-in-law. Now, at least he wasn't working for his mother-in-law. He was working for his father-in-law. And one day I was tending the sheep, and all of a sudden the bush was burning. And this was not anything strange. Let me tell you, this happened all the time. The sun would heat those dry embers up and they would catch on fire. And very quickly they would be just, and they would burn out. And this one didn't. And I looked and it didn't burn. I went about pasturing this sheep and I looked back, it's still burning. And I said, no, I got to go see what this is all about. So I got next to the fire, and all of a sudden a voice came out of the bush, Moses, take the shoes off your feet, the ground you're on is holy ground. And that voice spoke to me and said, listen to me, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, because this is what God said to me. He said, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to go back into the courtroom that you're very familiar with, and I want you to speak to the Pharaoh whom you grew up with, and I want you to tell him, let my people go. Oh, yeah, well, I can't do that. Why can't you? I can't talk. Well, I'll send Aaron with you. He'll talk for you. And he came up with all these excuses. And God said, I can throw down the staff. He threw down the staff. It became a serpent. And picked the staff up, picked the serpent up by the tail. He picked it up. It became a staff again. He says, I can do anything. Just do what you're told. He says, wait. I got one last problem, I told God. When I come to the children of Israel, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? What in the world am I going to say to them? And then God comes up with something that seems to me almost ridiculous. Almost simple. Tell them, I am who I say I am. Just tell them, I am has sent you. Duh. I said to the Lord, duh. I know you are God. I know you're God. No. He didn't say that. I did not say that to him because I know that this was different and unique. I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, Moses had known God as El Shaddai. That's how I knew him, Moses testifies. The omnipotent God of the mountains. The all-sufficient, all-powerful God of the mountains. But this was a new name that he had never heard before. It was the name Yahweh. You've heard it. And so I read this and I said to myself, I said, this is ridiculous. Wait 1 minute. I'm sorry. I'm in bad shape. My feet smell and my nose is running. Bad news. Moses understood immediately this is a new name for God with special meaning. Now let me tell you what the meaning is. It's based on the Hebrew infinitive weh, W-E-H. And that means to cause to be or to cause to happen. The great cause all. Are you hearing me? To cause to be or to make to happen. And when weh is added to it, it becomes the third person singular in the masculine future tense, even though in Hebrew there are no tense. And to make the complicated simple, God is saying to Moses this, he who will make things happen for you will go with you. You tell the leaders of Israel, the God who makes everything happen on behalf of his people is the God that's going to lead you. See, what it means is that when you request something from God, when you go to bow your knee before God and you say, I've got an impossible situation, I need you to solve this, and God goes to his all-sufficient great warehouse in the sky where he's got everything we need, and he sees in there that your situation is not contemplated. The Bible says he puts on his created hat, hallelujah, his creator hat, and he goes and he makes what you need and he sends it to your necessity. I am God creator. I make things happen. So you get to the Red Sea and the ferry has broke down and the bridge is out and he just opens it up and lets you go across. You get to the rock and there is no water coming out of it. And he says, speak to the rock and water will come out of it. You need bread and you don't even have to get up and go to the bakery. You just reach up and take the tent, let the flap up and you just scoop it on in. Every single day you need meat and the pigeons and the partridges and the quails, they fall into the campground. Glory be to God. Your clothes don't wear out, even though you don't have deodorant, and your shoes never get old.
Amen.
That's Yahweh. That's the God who creates. Hallelujah. The God who takes people who are nothing more than brickmakers and slaves and forms them into an army that defeats the Moabites and the Amorites and the Amalekites and everyone you want to find in the Bible. This is the God that's Yahweh, and he's still in business this morning. He hasn't quit. Can you turn to somebody and say, he hasn't quit? He's still the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of destination. He's the Lord of every circumstance. He's the Lord of every victory. He's the Lord of every struggle. He's the Lord of eternity, past, present, and future. And that's exactly what Moses and Israel needed to know, and we need to know it this morning. Amen. Whatever you need, this is what God says in Yahweh. Whatever you need, I'll make it for you. Let that sink in a minute. Glory be to God. Whatever you need, I'll make it for you. No longer am I just God El Shaddai, the all-powerful God of the mountains, but now I am Yahweh. I'm the God who can move mountains of difficulties in the valley of human struggle, and I can make things happen for the people who are willing to trust me and obey my word. Glory be to God. He's a mighty big God. You feel you're backed into a corner this morning. Holy Ghost, help us this morning. Feel you're backed into a corner this morning. That's a corner of impossibility. You can't imagine how things are going to work out. Hear me this morning. God sits on the throne and he speaks to his people. And he says, I can change everything. And I will change anything you need on behalf of my people. He's a mighty big God. He can still roll back the waters, whether river or ocean. He can still cover you and protect you day and night. He can still make water come out of the rock. He can still rain manna down from heaven. He can still command the elements on our behalf. He still can work. No matter what it takes, he will do it. What do you need this morning? What do you need this morning? Let's lay it on the altar. This old body isn't quite what it used to be. I lay it on the altar. Thank God he doesn't say, I don't want that hunk of trash. Get it out of here. He says, I'll accept it because I saved it. It's mine. I've called you my son. I've called you my daughter. You're mine. And whatever you need, I'll take care of. Listen, there is a glorious future in store for you. For every single one of us. Can I say that again? There's a glorious future for every single one of us. You are where you are. You are who you are. You are in the exact place he wants you to be, because he has made a future for you and for me that is glorious. Glory be to God. That baby is called of God. That baby is called of God. That baby is called of God. Why? Because he has a... Stephen can say, I made that baby. Now you had a part in it. But there are no souls, there are no bodies unless God puts them together. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? And he doesn't care. He does care, but it doesn't matter to him. That's a better way to put it. It doesn't matter to him what your circumstances are. If you're willing to give it to him this morning, he'll take it and he'll change it. And he'll take out of defeat, victory. He'll take out of struggle, victory. He'll take out of financial difficulty, wealth. He'll take everything you need and he'll make it according to his plan. Because you're ordained of him. We have an old chorus we sang. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Try me out and see. See if I can be completely yours. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I'm not, everything I've got, I'm yours, Lord. Try me out and see. See if I can be completely yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's so much that happens to us that we can't deal with. We so need your help this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I don't do this often, but I want to do it this morning. We're all saved here this morning. So this won't be for salvation, but you have a difficulty in your life, in your home, in your circumstances. Maybe it's in your work. Maybe it's in your health. And you're saying to me this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I'm going to raise my hand in faith and I'm going to give this circumstance to God right now and I'm going to let Him have it. Are you that person? Do you want to raise your hand for me this morning? Yes, I see those two hands. Yes, three, four, five, six, seven. Can you stand to your feet this morning? Here we are, Lord. We stand in your presence. Undeserved of your mercy and grace, yet basking in your love and provision. You are our God. You are our Father. And we thank you. We give it to you. Now I want you to make a mental fact of that you want to give God right now. I want you to say it in your mind right now. And then say, I give this to you, Lord. I give this to you, Lord. I refuse to carry it any longer. It's yours. Take it from me. Use it for your glory, but get it out of here in Jesus' name. We come against every onslaught of the enemy this morning. We rebuke him in Jesus' name. We rebuke his strategy in Jesus' name. We rebuke his plans in Jesus' name. We rebuke whatever he's doing in Jesus' name. We take authority over him and we order him based on what the Word of God says. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And we bind his strategies. We bind his actions this morning. We bind his activity. In Jesus' name, we loose victory and power on behalf of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. And we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Can you say that with me? We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Now what we need to do this week is you can say to me all you want. I don't see any difference. I don't see that God's done anything different in my situation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but I trust that I will. Because he says to you this morning, you will see it. And then if you need me to fast and pray, you just tell me. I got one situation in this church that has been brought to my attention, and for this, I am going to fast and pray. So you better be careful because it's going to get tough for you. Gets real tough when we start giving it to God. And the devil is put to flight because he doesn't retreat willingly. He has to be forced to retreat. How many are going to help me force him to retreat? Amen? We're going to force him to retreat in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen? Lord, go with your people. Bless them. Cause your face to shine upon them and give them peace. But most of all, give us somebody we can lead to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. I'm not going to get close to anybody because I'm not sick yet, but I don't